Good afternoon. Welcome to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on General Government. Today is June 9th, 2015. Today we're going to be doing two work sessions, one on House Bill 5034 related to the Public Employee Retirement System, and then we're going to do a work session on House Bill 5035. So with that said, we're going to open up the work session on House Bill 5034. John.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the subcommittee. Before you is the Public Employees Retirement System primary budget measure. It's being adjusted by eight policy packages, which are in the work session papers that I will go through at the co-chair's discretion. The overall budget for the agency is $9.8 billion, 380 positions, 380 FTE. The agency has done a good job working with the Chief Financial Office to make some key adjustments to its non-limited other funds expenditure limitation, which I will go through. The non-limited other funds expenditure limitation is related to two changes. One is just a refinement of their projections, and the other is related to the recent Supreme Court Morrow decision. So on page 3 of the work session materials is the first such adjustment, package 801. It adds $167.4 million non-limited other funds expenditure limitation to the Tier 1 and Tier 2 pension programs. On page 4, $756.5 million of non-limited other funds expenditure limitation is added also to the Tier 1 and Tier 2 pension programs just to get those in alignment with more up-to-date expenditure information that the agency has. On page 5 is the Retirement Health Insurance Program. The total budget is $558.1 million. This again is a benefits program. There is one adjustment to the program, and that is to increase its non-limited other funds expenditure limitation by $86.9 million. The OPSERP program has several adjustments beginning on page 8. The first package relates again to the Morrow decision. It adds $2.2 million of non-limited other funds expenditure limitation. And on page 9, there is an additional non-limited other funds expenditure increase related to just updating the projections, and that's $9.9 million other funds non-limited expenditure limitation. The IAP program, beginning on page 11, has one adjustment for $224.5 million non-limited other funds expenditure limitation. And that is it for the non-limited portion of the agency's budgets. Those are the changes. On page 15, there's a debt service budget of $1.3 million. There is no change to that budget. On page 17, we begin the operational portions of the budget. The first, you will see this throughout the agency, package 801, LFO adjustment. This is also in alignment with what the governor's budget did. It takes personal service and service and supply savings out of the agency's budget. This first package removes $44,386 other funds expenditure limitation from the central administration program. On page 19 is the benefit payments division. Package 101 is the current service level metrics staffing request. This package is recommended. It adds $139,709, one position, one FTE. This is the retirement counselor to handle additional OPSERP benefit claims. There is also the package 801 LFO adjustment, which takes out $139,373 of other funds expenditure limitation. There is an additional package. Package 803 relates to the recent Supreme Court decision. This is expenditure limitation for them to get the to become back into compliance with that decision. It adds $696,820 of other funds expenditure limitation. In the financial administration division, beginning on page 23, package 101, this is the transfer of the custodial position from the Department of Administrative Services to the agency. It adds one position, one FTE. It nets to zero because they will no longer be expending service and supply payments. So they've just netted that against their personal services. There is an additional package 801 that removes $308,398 for service supply and personal service savings. On page 26 is the Information Services Division. This is policy package 102. This is the individual account program request for phase three funding. The LFO recommendation is to approve the policy package as modified by the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Information Technology Subcommittee. That subcommittee recommended that this package go forward. However, that the other funds expenditure limitation be unscheduled pending the joint approval by the state chief information officers, state chief financial office, and the legislative fiscal office, as some documentation and other related foundational materials needs to be updated for the program, for this project to proceed. So it's the request as recommended is for 1.9 million other funds expenditure limitation, three positions, and three FTE. Package 104 on page 27 is technology maintenance and enhancement. This package again is comes with a recommendation from the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Information Technology Subcommittee. What is being recommended here is $250,000 of other funds expenditure limitation in order for the agency to complete a detailed assessment of its current information technology environment and then identify kind of a path forward for the agency. Package 105 is their disaster recovery program or disaster recovery request. It's for 1.5 or 1.6 million other funds expenditure limitation. This also comes with a request with a recommendation from the Joint Ways and Means Information Technology Subcommittee. The recommendation is to unschedule the entire amount based upon the approval of, again, the CIO, CFO, and Legislative Fiscal Office. And the thought there is to just get a better handle on more of the overall plan for disaster recovery within the agency. So the information technology recommendations are detailed, and the agency is aware of what needs to occur to get those funds rescheduled. And Legislative Fiscal Office, CIO, and CFO will work closely with them during the interim. Package 801 is, again, remains the Information Technology Services Division. It's a reduction of $355,076 for personal service and S&S savings. There is Package 803 with this, totaling $906,708 for other funds expenditure limitation related to, again, the Supreme Court decision. The customer service section or division, beginning on page 32, this is package 101. It's continues four limited duration positions in their call center, and with the goal of maintaining their current service metrics on call wait times and abandonment rates. This is adds $504,377 for positions for FTE. Package 103 is enhanced staffing for data verification. The recommendation is for $956,875, seven positions, seven FTE. This would this is also the amount that was included in the governor's budget, and it will allow for the elimination of the increases in the backlog of requests and allow for incremental improvement in existing backlogs. There's an LFO adjustment reduction to this customer service division of $221,848 other funds. The policy planning and communication division, there is a reduction of $81,440 again for personal service S&S savings. And with that, co-chair and members of the subcommittee, be happy to answer any questions. That was a very quick overview of the agency's recommendations.
Appreciate it. Any questions, committee? All right. Adam, co-chair.
Performance measures first. So we doing those first? Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that we accept the LFO recommendation on key performance measures.
Do we want to
do the first?
Sorry, I think you want to move the
skipped one. I skipped one. I apologize.
You just need to move the LFO recommendations.
I just move, Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendations to House Bill 5034.
Perfect. Madam Co-Chair Apologies. Moves the LFO recommendations to House Bill 5034. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so approved. John.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, the LFO recommendations on the key performance measures are that the subcommittee adopt the measures with their current targets.
Great. And Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, question.
Yep.
I didn't bring my computer with me. Is in the key performance measures, is there any kind of measurement of how well the agency is reacting to the Supreme Court decision and getting recalculations out timely? I want to thank the agency for offering to come and visit with me about their ability to handle the new assignment, and I believe that they can do it, but I just didn't know if there was any formalized measurement of that activity.
There is a benefit one, if I may, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. KPM4 is percent of service retirement monthly benefits accurately calculated within $5 per month, which to some extent alludes to that.
Number one, I believe.
And number one, timely retirement payments, initial service retirements paid within 45 days. And there's some general customer satisfaction ones, Senator.
Okay, I'm good. I don't need to belabor that. That's fine.
Thank you for asking. Mr. Chair, move the LFO recommendations of the key performance measures.
So Madam Co-Chair moves the LFO recommendations as they relate to the key performance measures. Any discussion, colleagues? Is there any opposition? Seeing none, so approved. John.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, there are three budget notes for the agency. The first is the public employees retirement system is directed to report to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means during the legislative session in 2016 or the next emergency board. If the PERS board adopts any change to the assumed earnings rate, the report is to include an actuarial analysis specifically focused on the change in the assumed earnings rate. Budget note number two, the public employees retirement system, in consideration of a future information technology upgrade of its retirement applications, is directed to undertake a statutory review to identify recommendations for simplifying and reducing the cost of the statutory benefit structure and its administration. The report is to be submitted to the appropriate legislative committees by September 2016. Budget note number three, final budget note. The public employees retirement system is directed to conduct a detailed health check and risk assessment of the current state of its disaster recovery and business continuity environment, including the state of its current disaster recovery and business continuity plans. PERS is to develop an associated prioritized action plan to correct all identified deficiencies and to ensure that its disaster recovery and business continuity plans are in alignment with state policy standards and guidelines. PERS is directed to report to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means during the legislative session in 2016 with its findings and prioritized action plan.
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommended budget notes.
So Madam Co-Chair moves the LFO recommended budget notes. Colleagues, is there any discussion on these? Is there any opposition? Seeing none, so approved. John.
Mr. Co-Chair, finally, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends $95,454,756 other funds limited and $9.7 billion other funds non-limited and 380 position, 380 FTE budget, and that House Bill 5034 be amended accordingly.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the -1 amendment to House Bill 5034.
Madam Co-Chair moves adoption of the -1 amendments to House Bill 5034. Is there any discussion, colleagues? Any opposition? Seeing none. So moved.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 5034 as amended to the full committee with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Perfect. Madam Co-Chair moves House Bill 5034 as amended to the full committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion on this, colleagues? With a due pass recommendation. Thank you. It's a good thing we have John here, isn't it? Any opposition? Seeing none, so approved. Madam Co-Chair, will you carry this one?
Happy to, sir.
Okay. And then we need a carrier on the floor. Betty, would you carry this on the floor?
I'd be fine to carry it on the floor.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
All righty. John, thank you for all of your work on this, and to the folks at PERS, thank you for all of your work on this. Colleagues, we're going to close the work session on House Bill 5034, and we're going to open up a work session on House Bill 5035.
Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, before you is the primary budget bill for the Department of Revenue. Included within this measure, or in the recommendations, are 9 policy packages, and with the co-chair's permission, we'll go through the work session papers.
Please do.
The overall budget is $281 million, 1,042 positions, 975.34 FTE. On page 2 is the executive division. There are no changes to that division. The general services division on page 4, there's one change. During the last February session, House Bill 4055 was passed, which related to the 911 tax. This adds $15,384 of Attorney General line item for the general services division. Next is the administrative services division. The first change is on page 6. The change is to reduce general fund by $537,170. This is a technical adjustment. This is some residual core system replacement general fund for DAS Central Services that is coming out. It will not impact the program and will be re-added as the policy package for the program is considered. Package 801. You'll see 801 throughout the agency on the general funded programs. These are one-time savings of personal services, vacancy savings, and services supplies. For the administrative services division, this is a $750,000 general fund savings or reduction. Next, we go into the property tax division. The property tax division, the total budget is $52.6 million, 87 positions, 76.76 FTE. The first package on page 9 is a revenue shortfall in the county assessment function funding assistance account of $1.8 million. That is a reduction in other funds expenditure limitation and 10 FTE. On page 10 is the property valuation system. This is a recommendation only on this project. This is an information technology project to buy a commercial off-the-shelf computer-assisted mass appraisal software system. The recommendation is to defer to the Capital Construction Subcommittee. The General Government Subcommittee, based upon recommendations of the Information Technology Subcommittee, recommends that the Capital Construction Subcommittee approve this project. So there's no expenditure limitation or funding in it. Package 142 is the related to the county assessment function funding assistance account shortfall. The recommendation is to put $1.8 million in a special purpose appropriation of the emergency board for the property tax division. And during the interim, leading up to the February session, LFO will work with the agency to reconcile exactly how much of that general fund is needed to fund the program. Package 801 is a technical adjustment. The adjustment is this. It again relates to the CAFA account. It's to move the expenditures that are payments to the counties of this revenue onto expenditure limitation, so it increases the budget by $33.6 million. Package 802, this is a cleanup item, and what it does is it transfers the senior property tax deferral program, which currently is embedded in the property tax division. It moves it out to an existing budget structure that's entitled the Senior Property Tax Deferral Program. So this is an overall reduction of $1.1 million, 8 positions, 6.5 FTE, which again you'll see later in the program come back into the budget. On page 15, package 151, fraud analytics and detection. This is an increase of $1.1 million general fund. The purpose of the package is to help fraud detection for the agency, and it is a integrated component of the core system replacement project. Package 801, again, we're in the personal tax and compliance division. This is a $1.4 million general fund reduction for S&S and service and supply savings. The business division is next, $34.9 million, 214 positions, 209.41 FTE. The first adjustment is on page 18. It's again related to the 911 measure that passed in February. It adds $322,924, two positions, 2 FTE, that would be funded with the 911 tax. There's also an an adjustment, a reduction of $450,000 general fund for this program on a one-time basis of S&S and personal service savings. No change to the multi-state tax commission. The elderly rental assistance program, you'll note for informational purposes only, there's Senate Bill 296 of this session that if it would become law would transfer the elderly rental assistance program from DOR to housing. So that's just informational only. We move to the senior property deferral program. Again, the intent is to put all the associated expenditures and expenditure limitation in this program to increase its transparency. The budget structure would be $31.5 million, 15 positions, 10.50 FTE. So the first package, package 143, was requested by the agency to add the necessary staff to bring the program up to speed. It's for $479,228 other funds, 7 positions, 4 FTE. The funding source is the deferral account. Package 801 is a technical adjustment to bring those tax payments on budget, and it's an increase of $30 million. Package 802 is the movement of the reduction from movement of the program from the property tax division over into this new senior property deferral program. So again, it's for $1.1 million, 8 positions, 6.5 FTE. This is just moving in the current service level. On page 27 is the core system replacement. There is one technical, there's one adjustment. It's a package 070, which is a revenue shortfall. It's just removing the bonding, some bonding authority and position authority from the phase one of the project. Package 181 is the request for phase two funding of the project. Again, the recommendation is to defer to the capital construction subcommittee based upon the recommendation of the, and approve the project based upon the recommendation of the information technology subcommittee. The next structures is the debt service and related costs. There are several here. One is for the property valuation system. So again, that's deferral to the capital construction subcommittee. And the recommendation is to fund that property valuation system. Package 181 is the debt service to fund the phase two of the core system replacement project, the new debt service. And the recommendation is also defer to capital construction, but also recommend that that be funded. There's one last technical adjustment. That's on page 33. There's some excess other funds limitation associated with cost of issuance. It's a reduction of $521,182, and the recommendation is to move that.
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendations to House Bill 5035.
So, Madam Co-Chair moves the LFO recommendations to House Bill 5035. Senator Johnson.
Question. Will the IT committee, when they're looking at the core replacement system, dig down into a level where we are completely sure what we're buying as they move into the next phase? I think there was some surprise evidenced at the committee level that the property tax piece wasn't included in the original core replacement. Are we going to know with significant specificity what all we're buying as we go forward?
It's a great opportunity to turn to our
co-chair,
our IT subcommittee chair. We just put you on the spot.
Yeah, you did.
Matt, if I...
Go ahead.
Mr. Co-chair.
Yeah, please do.
Senator, the department is... There's very specific details on what department is buying this next phase. And the primary piece is, of course, the personal income tax. So it's very discreet. The property tax is probably one of the few exceptions of what was not included in the overall project.
Okay, thank you. So, Rep. Nathanson, part of what we're sharing is that several recommendations are going to be coming to the IT subcommittee.
Yes. Yes.
And we're looking for assurance that there's going to be a real digging into making sure we know what we're buying.
I'm very pleased that, Mr. Chair, that there is the correlation between the work of that committee and the subs. I think that has happened in silos previously. And in the last budget presentation that Mr. Borden made, as well as this one, there was the recognition that there is discussion between those two committees, so they're not doing their work in isolation.
Yes. I guess I have just one thing I could add. This is the first year for that subcommittee to exist. It, in my individual opinion, it took a couple of months for it to start to, you know, feel like it was getting getting its sea legs, if you will. Much of what we hear is in the way of standard reporting. It's just updating, so it helps edify us on what's going on generally. It has happened, though, a couple of times now in committee that as a result of LFO analysts really digging into something, they understand something in a little bit different way or a mm-hmm. deeper way. They raise it to our committee, and then it causes our committee to recommend changing direction a little bit, or perhaps putting some money allocation in a holding pattern, if you will, saying, well, this money is available, but it's unscheduled, mm-hmm. pending approval of some additional work. You know, you have to dot some more I's and cross some more T's before we would recommend moving forward. So each project moves forward at a different pace. And, yeah, the committee is looking at those things.
Perfect. Thank you. So, Madam Co-Chair, well, I guess we're in discussion right now. Is there any other discussion from the committee members? Is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, so approved. John. We're back to John.
John. Key performance
measures. Yeah, LFO recommends approval of the agency's key performance measures and targets. And just for the committee to recall, the agency has spent a significant amount of time reviewing and updating its KPMs and reported to the last February session on them. And so this is just the final step in their approval.
Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendation on the key performance measures.
So Madam Co-Chair moves the LFO recommendation on key performance measures. Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I didn't make a big fuss about this because it hadn't really matured, and nor do I want to slow us down today. But I think some kind of thoughtful review of how quickly the agency is processing checks that come in satisfaction of personal and corporate income taxes remains unresolved. But I think at some point there needs to be more accountability about these checks that I'm now discovering are not anomalous. It happens more frequently than I think we wish, where there are significant delays. And I just want to raise that up for the committee's review going forward. I know that there's a budget note, but I think there's still work to be done here.
Any other comments, colleagues?
Sorry.
Any opposition? Seeing none, so moved. John.
Mr. Co-Chair, member of the subcommittee, there are three budget notes for the agency. Budget note number one, the Department of Revenue is to conduct detailed reviews of its enterprise cash management practices, debt collection and write-off practices, and audit selection processes and report individually its findings on each to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means during the legislative session in 2016. As part of these reports, the agency is to provide metrics on current performance and recommendations on statutory and administrative changes to increase revenue collection. Budget note number two, the Department of Revenue is to report to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means during the legislative session in 2016 on its implementation of House Bill 2550 from the 2011 session, which allows the agency to enter into agreement to recover non-tax debt owed the state or federal government. Budget note number three, the Department of Revenue is to report to the Interim Joint Committee on Ways and Means in the fall of 2015 to document the agency's readiness to proceed with the final implementation of the core system replacement project's personal income tax program.
Perfect. Colleagues, any discussion on these budget notes?
I would just like, Mr. Chair, if I might, to thank Representative Nathanson for some thoughtful work on a couple of these budget notes. Very helpful, summarizing a lot of the discussions the committee had on a couple of key topics, and I appreciate your work very much. Thank you, Representative.
So is that a motion?
Yeah, that'd be more. I move to accept the budget notes, the LFL recommended budget notes.
Perfect. Thank you. Madam Co-Chair moves the LFL recommended budget notes. And I want to point out on budget note number one for the director, I think part of what we're looking for is for your expertise. Every biennium we come in and we pound on you to collect more cash. And I think part of what budget note number one is saying is, help us understand, what tools do you need to enhance your collection activity? Mm-hmm. Let us know how we can help you on this. So, and I hope you take it in that spirit. Yeah. All right, so we've got a motion before us. Is there any other comments on these budget notes? Any opposition? Seeing none, so moved. John.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, the final recommendations of the Legislative Fiscal Office are for $180,259,142 general fund budget, $100,993,984 other funds budget, 1,042 positions, 975.3 FTE, and that House Bill 5035 be amended accordingly. And also, it's important to note that this amendment includes a $1.8 million general fund special purpose appropriation to the emergency fund for the property tax division.
Mr. Chair, move adoption of the -1 amendment to House Bill 5035.
All righty. Madam Co-Chair moves adoption of the -1 amendment to House Bill 5035. Any discussion, colleagues? Is there any opposition? So moved.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 5035 as amended to the full committee with a due pass as amended recommendation.
All righty. Madam Co-Chair moves House Bill 5035 as amended to the full committee with a due pass as amended recommendation. Any opposition? Seeing none. Any discussion? Seeing none. So moved. Senator Johnson, would you carry this one?
I'll defer to the chair. This is a complicated budget, and I think the expertise of having worked the budget is
important. Madam Co-Chair, you good with that? Okay, if you'll carry this one, and then, colleagues, I'm going to carry this one on the House floor, if that's all right. All righty.
Unless you want to carry it in full, then I'll take it.
You take this, I'll take it on the floor. That way I can cheat from your notes. All righty. Any other discussion on House Bill 5035? Jim, I want you to know I really appreciate the work you've done with Madam Co-Chair and I on this. You've been open, great to work with, and I genuinely appreciate it. Please send our best to your team. So, John? You're awesome. Thanks for all you do on this. These are complex budgets. All right, so I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 5035. Julie, anything we need to think about? John, are we good?
Yeah, Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, tomorrow you have two work sessions that you'll also need to complete in 1 hour, and that is the Department of Administrative Services budget and the continuing resolution.
Perfect. Madam Co-Chair, anything else? All right.
Yeah.
Colleagues, we're going to adjourn for the day.